Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hara and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
All right, hour number two starts at Dusty and Cam in the Morning. Thank you for being a part of our morning and letting us be a part of yours. We're talking Brady. Did he come off as more likable after that interview for a lot of people out there? That's an interesting question that's kind of coming from this, because there's a lot of hate towards Tom Brady. And are people rooting for him a little bit more when they hear the clips of him talking to Howard Stern? We played his audio, a little bit of it, last hour during our P1 social. If you missed it, check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. But the legacy talk was had a lot to do with it. And this text says, you know, if you don't care about what people think, you're probably an a-hole. And there's an element of Brady doing that. And I think that there is, I mean, there's people that think that, but there's a confidence in it. And some people look at confidence as just that, kind of an a-hole nature. I don't think it came off that way. Did you?
No.
I didn't think so at all.
I appreciate confidence. I do. I appreciate owning who you are as a person and not succumbing to the worry of being somebody different to make other people happy. Now, there's a time where you have to have empathy and understanding, but appreciating and owning who you are as a person and trying to be that's hard to do. Everybody walks around and goes, how do I make, can I make that? And then sometimes you just go, man, I can't make everybody happy. Can I just be to try to be the best person? Sure. But owning your personality. Now, if you're a D-bag, that's a completely different story. And don't have any empathy or understanding. Empathy's very hard to have. And if you're Tom Brady, he's got hundreds of millions of dollars. But in the end, he's just another guy that loves playing football and doesn't want to quit.
And I think in that legacy, Tom Brady not caring about it, this text says, maybe since Tom Brady gets called the GOAT and LeBron wants to be called the GOAT is the difference. I think that there is a ton of that. Like, LeBron is chasing Jordan, and he always will be. I think at this point, like, Tom Brady is considered the greatest. So what does he need to care about his legacy anymore? He's won six Super Bowls, for God's sakes.
Yeah, two different kinds of things. It's really hard because basketball is such an individual. It's a star-driven sport. Football is a team sport. I know you want to get into this, not you, but there's a lot of us out there that think that basketball is this great team sport. It is a good team sport, but it's about individual stars. Mm-hmm. There's only a couple teams, and I consider the 96 Bulls the greatest basketball team that's ever played. That's just my subjective opinion. But when I think about football, I think about the ultimate team, because Tom Brady can't do it by himself. LeBron James literally went to the finals by himself, practically, with a bunch of ham sandwiches in Cleveland. You know, he just constantly did it. Mm-hmm. He's incredible. He's unbelievable. Michael Jordan didn't win till he got his teammates. Yes, I can go on both sides. But Tom is not the greatest football player ever. He's not. He's not the greatest football player ever. He's one of the best.
Take that back.
Well, he's not. He's not. There's
take it back.
There's way better athletes, way better football. Lawrence Taylor. There's way better football players than Tom Brady. He just happened to be on one of the greatest organizations and teams and such ever.
Brady was also a grown man when he became a star. Guys like LeBron was a child when people started treating him like a king. Arrested development is the cause of a lot of athletes' issues. They will find they will always have the maturity of a 12-year-old.
So true.
Very
100% true. Great text about being young and being a star. That's why child actors and all these things get thrown into the limelight and all of these, and it's a difficult thing to deal with.
Have you ever noticed, and there's gonna be people that are like, no, that's not true at all, but have you ever noticed that a lot of people who end up marrying like their childhood sweethearts or high school sweethearts, they get into fights that are kind of ridiculous at times. Now they've worked their way through it, but obviously it's like sometimes there's a maturity level, and ones that fall apart, and we all know the ones that they got married at like 22 or like 20.
Do you know any ones that are like that?
Where they just
that
married really young. And
well, not just married young,
but divorced because they were fighting over stuff that high school people fight over because they didn't have emotional maturity in their relationship. I know a couple of people that did that, but then I also know high school sweethearts that are happily married and they're doing great still.
I know I played with one of the greatest men and women, and his wife is unbelievable. Adam Timmerman met his wife, Jana Timmerman, in second grade. And they've been together ever since. Second grade. They're from small town Iowa or North South Dakota. I can't remember. They have a huge farm out there. Amazing person. Unbelievable man and wife. It's one of the best stories you'll ever hear. You could just sit and listen and talk to Adam for hours upon hours. And Jana is just if you could model how it goes, it sounds like it just a song. It'd be a movie. It'd be great. But it's rare. Mm-hmm. It's very rare. Second grade, they've been friends.
Wow. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. All right, 55305, that's a fan text. And we've got Ross Tucker coming up this hour, radio.com, NFL insider. We'll be joined by him at 7:30 with a preview draft stuff going on. And it's brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now with two great tropical flavors. It is 7:09.
What's hot?
Spookin'!
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot!
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
All right, Oregon State announcing they will honor the scholarships of spring sport athletes from the 2020 season next year in 2021. Remember, the NCAA gave schools the option. You don't have to honor the scholarships since the spring schedule was canceled this year.
That's great.
It's a good move on Oregon State.
It is a good move. I hope a lot of schools follow in suit.
Isn't it expected that this happens, though, that like most of the Power Five conferences will honor those scholarships? The bigger question is, can like the Mountain West or the Sun Belt honor them because of funding?
Yeah, those are really good questions, because finances are going to be slim and none, especially if there's a shortened season or some of the games that they're normally typically going to get paid for won't be there. There's going to be a lot of hard, difficult decisions made about these athletes.
Funny you say that, because a report coming out, this came from via College Football Talk, that the University of Minnesota, their athletic department is looking at a $75 million shortfall this year because of cancellations. And obviously, you think of these, and this is going to be something that people will look at. Season ticket renewals will go down because look, 6 million people are losing their jobs, you know?
Yeah, because
it's a wide ranging.
Well, every year you put a down payment on those tickets. You do, and that's called hold fees, and all those are used as part of funding the athletic department. Everyone thinks that the athletic departments are just got this government money funding. No, they're all private entities, and they have to have the renewable revenue that comes in and their budgets and all of that. So,
and they're looking at best case scenario, $10 million shortfall, worst case, $75 million.
Yeah,
just athletics alone. based on their early projections, is a $10 million shortfall due to tickets, NCAA, and TV contributions.
We need these super scientists to really get going and find solutions. I mean, come, I know they're working hard, and I know they're working hard, but our economy is dying. Dying.
We need the super scientists.
We need help. We need the super scientists.
We are.
Stop telling me doomsday things. Let's get in those petri dishes. I know they are.
I'm pro scientist help. Super scientists.
Super scientists. Where are the big brains?
We are pro.
Look at the big brain on Brad. Look, come on, let's do
the big brain on Brad.
Yeah.
All right. The Chicago Bulls will reportedly hire Nuggets GM Arturis Karnasovas to be the next VP of basketball operations. Boy, they've been, to use one of your words, a garbungle, the Bulls have. Maybe the guy who drafted Nikola Jokic and Yusuf Nurkic can get them back on the rails.
I like how you mentioned those two guys, but he's had some other really good draft picks.
Yeah, he's done a really good job of building that roster and then going out and making trades and getting guys like Will Barton, who's been a very productive piece off the bench for them. He's a sharp dude, Karnasovas is, and maybe the Bulls will get out of their own way. He replaces John Paxson.
Good riddance to John Paxson and that three-headed garbungle that they have.
Double dip of garbungle. Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews haven't been paid by the Rams? What is going on here?
Oh, that guaranteed contract. Not so guaranteed, is it? Is it?
Well,
is it?
It just kind of sounds like guaranteed. They just haven't paid. Todd Gurley tweeted at the Rams, past due, send me money ASAP. And then Clay Matthews retweeted and said, you and me both, TG, better get some interest with that, too.
Reread the main issues in that. What is the word? What are the two words that are always in NFL contracts that are not in any other contracts? What is the things that the players fight for and they try to deal with? And they're like, here it comes. Ready for it? Offset language.
Bum, bum, bum.
The Rams are using their claim of offset language to not pay out because they feel like it was stated differently. Again, I can't say this enough. NFL contracts are a joke. They are a joke. NFL contracts are a joke. It's year to year. Guarantees don't mean guarantees. Yet fans want players to be loyal to these contracts. They are horrible.
So the Rams owe Gurley $7.55 million. The offset language says that they only owe him $5 million. Meanwhile, Matthews, all of his $2 million are gone.
Yeah.
That sucks. At least one team and potentially more failed Tua Tagovailoa in physicals, according to Mike Lombardi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not because of his hip.
Well, 6 months out. I mean,
it's not because of his hip.
They're lying.
His ankle and his wrist, also an issue. Apparently, Lombardi saying he has brittle bones is what people around the league are saying.
Brittle bones.
He's brittle.
These doctors, man, they know. They'll find every reason. Funny how I've told you this. I probably never told you this story. I was told multiple times that my knees were going to be destroyed as I played football into the NFL.
Wrong. It was your Achilles. Those idiots.
I've never had a knee injury in my life.
Yeah.
Now, the Achilles is a different deal. I had one doctor say, you're going to have degenerative hips. I was 21.
What are
these doctors, you know, I appreciate these doctors and what they try to do. Their job is subjectively trying to make sure that Tua doesn't get picked higher so they can fall. I don't trust any of these. I really don't. At that time, and I still hold a slight bit of a grudge because of all those, because I knew that they were paid by the teams, and they only were looking out for the team's best interest.
Now, this is a nice little report to slip in there that, hey, we failed him because he also has a wrist injury, because this is one that people don't talk about. Everybody talks about how he had surgery on both of his ankles and dislocated his hip because those affected his seasons. In spring, he broke his wrist and missed an entire spring ball, too, and then re-injured it in the summer. So he had that, but it didn't affect his time on the field during
the
season.
He's brittle.
Oft injured.
He's brittle and he's off injured.
Bum, bum, bum. All right.
Well, it's not untrue.
Look, he's going to go in the top 10, top six. He's not sliding past six. Can we agree?
Probably.
Yeah. All right. Ross Tucker, radio.com NFL insider, joins us at 7:30. Coming up next, though, the head coach that finally got email. Next on The Fan. The year is 2020, and Nick Saban finally got email. That's shocking to me.
I don't believe it.
Nick Saban on an Instagram Live with ESPN dropped just how Nick Saban got away without having email until the year 2020. God bless Miss Terry.
One positive of this for me is I even have an email now. So, I've come a long way. It was hard to communicate when you have to be by yourself and you always depend on somebody else to get your emails and messages and all that. And it just didn't work. They were sending them all to Miss Terry. She fired me. And she said, I'm not dealing with your stuff anymore. So I had to do it on my own.
Coach, last time I checked, you like weren't even doing text messages, really.
No, I'm like, call me is like, you know, that's about as far as it goes on the text part of it. But, you know, I can actually get an email now and read what somebody, I mean, it's like, I've really come a long way.
I'll tell you what, this is terrifying for every other college football program in the country. Hmm. Nick Saban has built a juggernaut of college football, the likes we have not seen in modern college football ever.
Yeah.
Without using email or text messages,
mm-hmm.
He's going to find out what a time saver this can be in not just recruiting, but the day-to-day operations of Alabama football.
Really? But it's working. Why deviate?
Well, because Miss Terry's done with it. And instead of dictating that email to Miss Terry.
Does Miss Terry like her paycheck?
She's a real estate mogul, remember? Remember when the University of Texas thing?
Yes.
His house was for sale?
Yes.
Yeah. She likes her paycheck, but she fired him. You heard it.
Yeah.
He got fired from mm-hmm. that. I find that very hard to believe Nick Saban has been operating until 2020 without an email account.
Well, why would he lie? But I guess I don't believe it either. I mean, does he have a smartphone? Yes, he has a smartphone. He probably looked at his emails. He probably just didn't know how to reply or anything or just chose not to. He's old school. He wants to talk to you.
That goes way back to the conversations we've been having really for a long time. You've been saying this a long time. It's come up over the last couple of days. Coaches are in a bubble that they live in.
Yep.
It is a football world. And like they just on guys like, and that's like the Bill Belichick, MySpace, my face, your face,
Insta chat.
They live in this little world where they've heard of it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to use it.
So why use it?
And there's a thing that they don't ever feel they have a need to do it. But now that everything has gone digital and you can't have the face to faces or you can't have as many phone calls because of NCAA regulations now. Nick Saban is forced to learn it because everything's on a digital platform now with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be.
This doesn't make him a better coach. It just kind of looks, it's more funny. It's more, here's a guy that's, 68 years old, getting close to 70 years old. And he's thinking, I have to use email. Okay, I have to text these guys. All right. Can you imagine what would you do if Nick Saban texted you or if Nick Saban called you? What would scare you more? Nick Saban texting me. I'm like, oh, this guy's texting me.
You'd be more scared at a text
than
the call?
Yeah, because I would expect a 68-year-old guy to call me.
Oh.
It's like that means more. So maybe I'm reading into it more. I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's calling me. People actually call you now. I like, this person is, they care.
Yeah, if Nick Saban called me, I'd be like, uh-oh, what'd I do?
Yeah, that's the part
that's in trouble now. If he texts me, I'd be like, eh, all right, Nick Saban.
I know, you just don't take it as serious.
Right. Yeah. So I wouldn't.
That's why I think he just doesn't care as much about it. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, I guess I'm not that important.
I can't believe that you can, in this age, though, and it just goes to show in college football how many people are behind the scenes and working at it, though. And like Alabama isn't this like technological dinosaur as far as like what they do in social media or how they stay connected with mm-hmm. players and fans. It's just that in this day and age how Nick Saban can do it and do it so well without having an email account. It just seems like that's one of the things that everybody has had and has probably had for 20 years. And manage their own email.
Oh, gosh, account. I still have my Yahoo. I have my original Yahoo.
Yeah, it's
are there people out there that still have their AOL account?
It's not like Nick Saban. When Nick Saban was at Michigan State, like that's you have when email started coming around.
Like you have your Lycos account. You have your Netscape Navigator account.
He's going on Alta Vista.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Nick, you know Google exists. Mm-hmm. What's Google?
What's this Gmail? If it's email, why do they say it with a G?
I went to Ask Jeeves, and I found this linebacker on Ask Jeeves the other day. It was amazing. The kid is phenomenal. More power to Nick Saban. Bravo.
That's
Nick
like
Saban.
I said. Remember the beginning of the show? I said all these conveniences that we have. And then in the end, guess what? All you need to do in college football to have a great program.
Have a bag man.
W.
Oh.
W. W. As you said, a W. That's called winning. That's what we do here. It's what we do at Alabama. We win.
And pay your players.
No, they pay the parents.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. There we go. Hey, pay the parents. Who then trickles down to the players.
Well, but...
And have a coaching staff full of other head coaches.
But Mike Gundy says if there's a pandemic, we want all these amateurs back because they make us all money. We don't care.
The economy needs to be back up and running.
The economy needs to get back up and running because these amateurs are not making us our money.
We need to run money through the football program at Oklahoma
These players
State.
Should be so thankful for their scholarships. They need to make us hundreds of millions of more. Millions.
Bad news on that.
Heaven
front.
Forbid they sign an autograph and get $20.
Yeah, or free food.
Yeah, give them an extra damn teriyaki breast and quit whining about it.
I love it. To get the Cam Cleland special there at.
Hey,
the
I paid
Bento
for
place.
It. I paid for it. It was just like an add-on.
It was just a little add-on.
It wasn't free.
Yeah,
I still paid for it.
I love
just cut the extra chicken.
I love the fact that it's totally believable whether Nick Saban's joking or not. That he hadn't had an email account or hadn't been running his email account. Because Miss Terry, if you've heard like any of the players, and Lane Kiffin talks about her a lot too. She runs the show
the backbone.
For Nick Saban.
Yeah, he's the backbone. Everybody's got to have the better half that takes care of you.
Yeah, absolutely. You hear the Bay Area doctor and what he said?
No.
Santa Clara's like main doctor guy. Santa Clara County. He said that be lucky to have sports back until Thanksgiving.
Oh, that guy can go pound sand.
That is the...
pound sand right now. I hate these predictors that are out there. You don't even know what's happening tomorrow. Stop it. Pound sand. I don't want to hear that.
The medical expert?
No, but see, doomsdayer. Can we just wait? Stop. That's
trying to manage expectations.
Manage expectations. Can we wait a little bit? It's April.
Hey. You know what I've learned?
It's April.
We heard the report baseball wants to be back in May. This Jeez. Guy's saying Thanksgiving. The truth is always somewhere in the middle, isn't it? So in between May and Thanksgiving.
These guys are all guessing. They're all guessing.
Isn't that August?
Just take a breath.
Between May and Thanksgiving.
A breath. Let's let things kind of... We're doing the best we can right now. Stop Nostradamus in this crap. Mm. It's already hard enough. We don't need to make everyone else more depressed.
Yeah.
Hope. Hope is not November.
All right, here's hope for you. Maybe Nick Saban ends up sending his bagman money to a Nigerian prince because now he's answering the emails and he's going to fall for it. You know, instead of getting the 5-star quarterback, he's going to send that money to the Nigerian prince instead because we all get those emails and now he is first.
I don't
time
get
he's
those
anymore.
I don't get those anymore.
You don't?
No. I got the old junk mail thing.
Ah, yeah.
The Pfizer.
Well, hey, somebody needs to tell Nick Saban about that before he gets burnt. All right, let's talk with an NFL insider, Ross Tucker, radio.com, NFL insider, Ross Tucker podcast. He joins us next. Talk a little bit about the National Foosball League. Here's Buck with SportsCenter. All right, NFL draft coming up at the end of the month and offseason moves still happening around the league. Joining us now on the line is radio.com sports NFL insider Ross Tucker, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots now in 2 great tropical flavors. Good morning, Ross. How you doing? Everybody healthy and happy in your family?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. Everything's going well here in central Pennsylvania. Fortunately, all the stuff I do at home, the You Better You Bet show on the radio.com app and all my podcasts that are available on the radio.com app, I do from home. So I have not been affected that much in that way. Just kind of more family time, more home cooked meals. And man, we've been spending a lot of time in the yard, you know, with trying to have my daughters hit tennis balls off the walls and softball. And we're trying it all, guys, trying it all.
Now, are you finding it that now that this is like the stay inside order, you said you out in the backyard, are you guys as a family, because we've been talking about this over the last couple weeks, we're spending actually more time outside than we did before now, just because we're told we can't leave the house, so we just go out in the backyard. Are you finding that for yourself as well?
Without question. You know, when this first started, my daughters are 7 and 6. So when this first started, I actually thought, you know what, let's do something productive out of this. So I actually taught both of them how to ride their bikes.
Nice.
And
wonderful.
It's unbelievable how much better they've gotten at riding their bikes over the last 3.5 weeks. I mean, it was a great feeling when they knew how to do it for the first time. And now, like, they go everywhere. We actually go, like, there's like church parking lots or school parking lots near us that we'll go so they can ride a little bit more freely with still not being near anybody. So trying to take advantage of it. Yes, the weather's actually been pretty decent here the last couple of days. So we spent a lot of time outside, a lot of time on the swing set, stuff like that. So it's actually, you know, you almost feel bad saying this, but there have certainly been some positive and or redeeming aspects of quarantine life, you know, in terms of family time, outside time. You know, probably like everybody else, we have our daughters in like swimming and dance and tennis and blah, blah, blah. It's like every night you got something. It's kind of been nice to just be home with them and just do stuff with them here.
Absolutely. 100%. As it pertains to the NFL draft's going to be happening from home. Do you buy into, I know you had Andrew Brandt on the Ross Tucker podcast this week. Do you buy into the fact that the NFL it can pull this off without any technical glitches? And is there legitimate concern from these teams?
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, we talked about this on the Fantasy Feast podcast, and I know you guys have been to fantasy leagues as well. I mean, if there are literally millions of fantasy drafts every year that are able to go off without any issues, I don't know why this would be that big of a deal. Now, is it possible that there's a power outage somewhere? Yeah, I guess. Is it possible that, you know, there's some type of communication issue while one team is talking to another team about, you know, a trade possibility? I mean, yeah, but guys, for the most part, they're using their cell phones. And the one GM calls the other GM, hey, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, all right. And then they work it out, and then, I mean, they can call the league, or, heck, they can text Roger Goodell. I don't care. Hey, we're taking this to kid. I mean, it's like, if they're able to do free agency where you're talking to agents and all these kind of players and all these moves are going on at the same time, I think the draft – when it's like, all right, I got my 10-minute allotment now or whatever it is, I don't think that should be that much of an issue. Look, these teams, there's paranoia anyway in the NFL, right? And it's a very high-pressurized industry with a lot of money, jobs on the line. So these guys are just nervous about the unknown. I get it. I respect it.
So, Ross, tell me a little bit about, I mean, your experience of being a free agent, your draft day, because or just getting up into that time, trying to figure out, you know, where your career is going to go. We were talking about earlier about Tua and doctors coming out saying he failed his physical and that he's now certainly oft injured, that label's there, or he's got weak bones. Do you remember thinking back to those times when doctors found reasons not to? I always found and remember it was about trying to not devalue you in the draft, but trying to find reasons to not draft you. Do you find it that this might be a little bit more difficult to find in certain players, and what organizations might have a leg up when it comes to this digital draft?
Yeah. So I think teams are going to be even more risk averse, right? I mean, if there are unanswered questions about a guy in your mind from a character perspective, because he's got a red flag and you weren't able to talk to him in person and really get a good feel for him, or especially the medical component. You know, if you look at any of these draft guides, right, there's, you know, hundreds of players at each position. And certainly there might be a guy that you really want and we really like him, but there's another guy right after that who's also really good. And so I think these teams are going to look at it and say, I'll just use the Tua example. Yeah, we really like Tua. And maybe he'd be better than Justin Herbert, you know, based on watching the video. But Herbert's healthy. We know that. Tua's had a couple of ankle surgeries. He's had the hip. He's had the wrist. Like, and we don't really know where he's at with that stuff right now. I'm just not going to take the risk for this much money. I'll either get a guy at a different position or I'll go with Justin Herbert. But somebody's going to take him, right? So somebody's going to take Tua.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be the Dolphins or the Chargers, and they're going to be willing to take on that risk. But there are going to be other teams more. Like, I don't think – here's how I would describe it. I think if they knew Tua was healthy, I think a team would trade up to 3 to make sure they get him. But because of the unknown, I now do not envision either the Dolphins or Chargers trading up to 3. I kind of think they're going to sit there. And the Dolphins are going to say, you know what? We're not going to trade up. If the Chargers trade up to take Tua, then we'll take Herbert here, and vice versa. So I think that's sort of the difference. And so that, to some extent, is going to go on at every position all around the draft, right? Where it's going to be, we really like this guy, but, man, I just don't know about the injury. I don't know about this. Move on to the next guy in the list or go to a different position. Or let's see if he's available next round, because we're just not going to take on that risk because of the unknown.
Ross, if health wasn't a question, if you could just throw that out there, and I know it's going to be tough to do that because that's what it – how would you rank the quarterbacks? And if there was no health issues, you said just pure talent alone, and I could guarantee you, which is completely facetious, but to have fun with it, how would you, with Herbert, to Joe Burrow and potentially maybe Jordan Love, where would you put your rankings?
I feel very strongly about this. It is Joe Burrow 1, Tua Tagovailoa 2, Justin Herbert 3, Jordan Love 4. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I know I'm on in Portland, and I know there's a lot of Ducks fans listening. I have a lot of concerns about Herbert. Mm-hmm. I mean, I go back to the Auburn game where at the end of the game, he throws the ball out of the back of the end zone. I mean, stuff like that drives me berserk. Like, that's football. Until, like, how can you throw it out of the back of the end zone and not give your guy a shot in the field of play? Mm-hmm. I watched the Arizona State game, and I thought that left a lot to be desired. Even certainly in the first half, especially of the Rose Bowl. You know, by all accounts, he is a terrific young man. He's got a 4.0 GPA, which is incredible, although on some level it makes me question his decision making. Like, 4.0, like, does he not go out and have a good time? Like, 4.0, dude. Like, I think we need to worry about his decision making. Yeah. Anybody that had over a 3.6 GPA in college, I think we really need to evaluate their priorities in life.
This is coming from the Princeton guy. The Princeton guy is even saying this. I like it.
Yeah, what are you doing? Like, 4.0. Hey, Justin, let's make some better decisions in life. Nobody cares, bro. But you're only going to get those years to party and date those girls or whatever that many years. So anyway, so I'm joking about that part of it, obviously. But I will say, I just, you know, every time I watched Herbert, and I know he's fast, and I know he's got a big arm, and I know he's a smart kid, but every game I was like, yeah, no. Like, that's not my guy. That's not the guy I want to be taking. And then Jordan Love, I do a game every Saturday for CBS Sports Network. And so I did Wake Forest Rice the week after Wake Forest played Utah State. And I watched Jordan Love. I mean, the guy threw 3 picks, and Wake Forest dropped 3 or 4 other ones. I mean, he could have had like a 6 or 7 interception game. Then I did Army Air Force, which was sweet, by the way, at Air Force. Nice. And Air Force had played Utah State the week before. Utah State scored 7 points against Air Force.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. I know everybody shows me all these throws he makes that are incredible. And maybe he will be like Mahomes. Maybe. But, like, I'm just telling you, I always look at it from this perspective. If you're a GM and you take a quarterback in the top 10, you are saying that my entire livelihood, my career, my family, everything is dependent on this kid. If he's good, I'm going to get a contract extension. I'm going to make millions of dollars a year for 10 years. If he stinks, I'm getting fired. I can't go there with Jordan Love, and I'd even be hesitant and nervous to go there with Justin Herbert.
Mm. Ross Tucker is our guest, radio.com NFL insider. Now, that separation that you're talking about between Tua and Burrow, there is a big one there. And now, what about that separation between Herbert and Love that you're talking about? You have questions about both those guys, but, you know, we hear like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, they're fighting over which one is better. Is there a gap between the two that you think, you know, Herbert may fall into the late teens and 20s, or is he going to be solidified in that top 10 in your mind?
So I do think three quarterbacks are going to go in the top six picks. I do think the Bengals are going to take Burrow, and I do think the Chargers and the Dolphins are both taking a quarterback. Like, if you look at everything they've done, all the players they've added, both those teams, it's like they're gearing up to support a young quarterback and to try to make a run at having a good team while their starting quarterback is on a rookie contract. Like, that, like, to me, there's just like flashing lights from the Dolphins and the Chargers that they're taking a quarterback. And I believe that those teams, one of them will take Herbert and one of them will take Tua. I think Love is a lot more of a wild card and maybe a, you know, late round one, high round two. I just think, man, if you take him ahead of Herbert, I don't know how you do that. Then you're just going based purely on physical ability. But the thing is Herbert's physical ability is really, really good too. Like, he's really fast, really strong arm. So I don't know how you make that argument.
Okay, I got a – from a guy that's been around football, understands it, both collegiately and professionally. This one burns in my saddle a little bit, so I want to get your thoughts on it because you're on the other side of the country, but you cover college football and understand the NFL too. We're going to see in this first round, we might see an SEC juggernaut of picks between maybe two teams where 20, 21 players could get picked from one conference, let alone 14 from two teams. And we're seeing a shift in college football like we've never seen in the South. Do you think this is more about just pure talent, the fact that the coaching is better? Do you see it being an issue with college football moving forward about how it's such one-sided right now?
It's a great question. It does seem like there's not nearly the parity that there used to be. I mean, it feels like in every given year, there's about five, six teams that maybe have a chance to win the national championship. And it feels like Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, and then maybe like at Oklahoma. But in particular, the SEC, I think a couple things. I think number one, there is increasing population moving away from the Northeast, moving away from the cold of the Midwest down south. And I think that's reflected in some of the growth of some of the cities down south. And I also think that the SEC is willing to do things from a recruiting perspective that other schools are simply not able to do or not willing to do. And I'm talking about paying the kids or paying their coach to get them to go there. I just think that that's a lot more common in the SEC. I'm not saying it doesn't go on anywhere else. I just think, you know, from what I've been told from other coaches or whatever, it's just kind of the cost of doing business in the SEC. And I think a lot of why they're so good is the recruiting. They're getting the best players. And I think it's probably a combo of the kids wanting to play in that conference, the kids, a lot of them being in the South. But also, I think we'd be turning a blind eye if we didn't think that there were some other things at play there.
Ross Tucker, radio.com NFL insider. Always appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Great stuff. Thanks, Ross.
See you guys.
Have a good one. Stay safe and healthy too, man. That was Ross Tucker, radio.com NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. Go listen to Ross on You Better You Bet. It's more sports and more than just sports entertainment than you need right now. Search Bet on the radio.com app or tune in live or search Bet wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Special thanks to Ross Tucker. Always good stuff. And he hit it on the head, man. There's concerns about Herbert, the inconsistencies that we've all seen. We all know following Justin Herbert's career. You know, Tua has the injury concerns, but those other question marks of when he is healthy just don't seem to be there. Coming up next, we go off the rails. What type of person is hoarding all of the toilet paper? This story may explain it. Next on The Fan. All aboard!
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore
growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
Stupid does cover all genres, including this one. Oh, P1 Raymond chiming in, asking, did Ross Tucker just call out the SEC for cheating?
No, he called out the SEC for cost of doing business, which is what you have to do now.
Yeah.
It's what you have to do. If you like being good in your bubble, if you like being good of the Northwest, okay, be good of the Northwest if you want to be as good as everybody in the country.
I told all y'all to watch the show The Scheme. The HBO doc.
And yeah. I did last night.
You did. Yeah. Buck did. It is prevalent in our sports world. It is not something that should surprise anybody. And Ross Tucker just kind of told the truth.
Well, he didn't. Not only did he just tell you the truth, he told you who's to blame. It's not the SEC. It's not the Pac-12. It's not the ACC. It's the NC2A and their model. They have created the power and shift because they are a de facto leader. They're not leaders. They're intermediary that collects money. They don't have any power.
It's a dadgum mistake.
They try to think they have power, but when you have commissioners of every different conference and you know your championship isn't even involved with the NC2A, it's a Dr. Pepper lipstick. I mean, that goes to show you that if the SEC's doing it, it's fine. Do it. Don't sell me anymore that it's not okay. It's those cheaters. The NC2A's turning a blind eye to it. They don't care because the money keeps rolling in. So until there's one unified group, which God knows that'll never happen at this point, start catching up.
I got a two-part question for you.
Stop trying to be the good people.
Two pots.
Seems like, we're so smart out here. We do things the right way. We know what we don't do? You don't win.
Which program would you be the most shocked if you found out they did cheat? Which program would you be surprised? You'd be like, oh my gosh, really?
None, Dusty, none. I wouldn't be shocked at all. Not at all.
Oh.
Is there a program that you're like, God, those guys cheating all the time, yet they have three wins at like Iowa State? I mean, they're actually pretty good.
They cheat properly.
They cheat properly. It's not cheating if the NC2A is turning a blind eye to it and allowing it to happen with their bad leadership. It's not cheating anymore because there's different conference games, there's different rules, there's different officials, there's different everything.
I'd be shocked if Rutgers, like it came out like Rutgers had been paying players.
Greg Schiano, yeah.
Well, now that they have a different coach, that's a different story. But like the last decade, it'd be like, what were they paying them for? To lose, roll over, and die for the rest? Was the rest of the Big Ten paying those guys? Okay, and then which program? This one is a tougher one. Which program would you be shocked if they said they do it completely clean? Like they do it the right way, 100%. Like it came out and it was like, no, this is the truth, the gospel. The 100% is that they do not cheat, they do not pay anybody.
I'd still say Miami. I mean, I know they had the huge Devin Shapiro thing, but like it just seems like a place where they're always going to have that stuff going on.
Oh, come on. There's, yeah. Who,
that's a good
who
one. Miami is a good one.
Okay, mine is Oregon.
Oh, really?
You really want me to believe that all that money that's funneling through there, that everything's on the up and up and we're all perfect here? Come on.
You would be shocked more than Alabama,
Clemson,
LSU, Ohio State,
Oklahoma? that's lying here. We're trying to go to the – that's just blatant. That's blatantly already been stated that it's that you have to do everything to get your recruits. You have to do everything. And it's not cheating anymore. It's not cheating. It is not cheating. Until the NCAA, in my mind, I'm not advocating for you to go out and offer millions of dollars to everybody and doing that. I'm not advocating. What I'm trying to say is that the leadership, the governing body of college football is a joke. And it's allowing these types of things to happen. So if you like losing and being in average bowl games, continue on that path.
Ooh, this is Army and Navy. I'd be surprised if they were cheating. I'd be surprised if one of the academies was
such a different.
Yeah, I know.
Different parameter. They're a military academy.
Yeah,
you can't.
Oregon also had the Willie Lyles thing.
Yeah.
You know, this one says Kansas football isn't cheating. BS. They just got hit with a notice of allegations from the NCAA.
Everybody's about pushing recruiting. The envelope. Everybody's pushing the envelope. You go up to the line. Some go over the line. Some go up to the line.
On the lines of Bucks, Miami, I would be shocked to hear Ohio State has all of a sudden cleaned it up after everything that came out in North Carolina, too. After everything that came out around the trestle thing with the tattoos and cars and money. And then we know that, everywhere that Urban Meyer goes, like a wake of
what's also
a wake of like a cloud is kind of left behind him.
It's also pretty disrespectful to say that every college does this because they don't. A lot of colleges don't. They don't. And it's rude to say, well, everybody pays. No, they don't. They don't.
The documentary that I watched last night opens with the quote from Jerry Tarkanian. It says, 9 of 10 teams are cheating. The other one's in last place.
Yep. He's not wrong.
Well, that's good. The opposite of what you just said.
Well, no. When he said everyone, the good teams, he said 9 of 10. There's 350 Division I basketball teams. There's 130 Division I football teams. Not all of them are cheating.
So let's see.
But the top 10... 8 out of 10 probably are doing a little things to get you to the top. 8 out of 10.
So we're going teams that weren't cheating last year. UConn, Georgia Tech, Kansas, actually, the Les Miles recruiting thing. Let's see. Stanford, I believe that one. Vanderbilt, Arkansas, no way Arkansas is not. Those are your power five non-cheating teams. The
coach got fired.
I know.
Because he wasn't cheating good enough.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we need to get to hoarding. We'll get to that sometime next hour, you think? Probably. And we got to answer this question. You think Wazoo or Oregon State cheat? They don't have the money or the support.
You don't need money just to cheat. You got to do what you got to do.
I skirt the rules a little bit. Skirt the rules. For some schools, it's as simple as a little extra gear on your recruiting trip, you know, a couple t-shirts, sweatshirts for the family.
Here's some all-inclusive tickets. Here's a round trip tickets to the Bahamas.
Oh,
use these. Here's some airline miles. I just happen to have some extra airline miles. So, you know,
hasn't that gotten harder with the way you have to book travel now?
I don't know. I hate traveling.
Here's a car. Use it.
Here's a car. Here's some country tickets.
Wait, you hate traveling?
I do.
Did you say that? Why?
I loved a road trip. I hate flying.
Why?
I hate flying.
I love traveling.
Oh,
going to new places.
Congratulations. No, I'm happy for you.
Traveling is great. What don't you like about traveling though?
I love to travel. I said I love road trips. I like to travel. I think it's a blast. I hate flying.
Why?
Did you just meet me?
Well, what?
Have we had this discussion?
Why do you just hate being on an
airplane? Flying coach at 6'5" with kids on a small airplane.
Yeah.
Not great.
All right.
Not my cup of tea.
Jeez.
I'd rather sit in a car for 16 hours.
Yeah. The documentary we're talking about, The Scheme on HBO, it's about Christian Dawkins who went to the Slammer for the Nike Adidas, or it's actually more based around Adidas. But Will Wade is caught on tape, head coach LSU, Sean Miller, all that stuff. You hear that. It's a really good doc on HBO. All right, coming up next hour. Hey, we get the bells next on The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.